everybody. This is Tim Roberto here from Beachway Therapy Center. And what an honor it is to be here and to have this platform to reach people. There's so many people that need to be reached. There's so many people that are struggling and so many people that their lives have become unmanageable. And it doesn't, it doesn't have to be addiction. It can be mental health. It can be trauma. It can be eating disorder. It can be all kinds of disorders, But we're here just to generate a positive message and to help people. And the only way we can do that is if we keep showing up. And that's what I've been doing for quite some time now, and I'm very honored to be able to do that. But I'm twice as honored, if that's a way to put it, to have our guest here, my dear friend Ali Severino. And I practiced.
Everyone always
and
mixes
I practiced
the V and the R. It's okay.
And I practiced it too. And my father's probably rolling around his grave right now because I'm a first generation Italian.
Right.
Here.
From New Jersey.
From New Jersey, but born
oh
in Brooklyn.
God.
Forget about it. And, and when I say honor, I mean that. And if you've been following us, and which I really hope maybe there is a couple of people that are following, we've had a dedicated first responder here, over 30 years of service to the community. We've had a trauma therapist here, nationally known. Dedicated to helping people who have struggled with trauma. We have had Dave Ehrenberg here, state attorney, phenomenal guy, just a total doer. All three people are doers. And Ali is my fourth guest here. And, talk about a doer. There's not many people I know that constantly do the way she does. And with that being said, I'm just going to introduce Ali Ali. Just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing as a doer.
I'm doing it. I love that. Thank you for having me too.
Yeah.
This is a good little break to my day. I was like, oh, I get to go do something fun for a moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And turn my phone off and just like chat. So a little bit about me. I sunny South Florida is my home for a very long time now, born in New Jersey. Came into recovery when I was 18, which,
blessing.
Gosh, I have a birthday in like a week, but
wow.
I'm getting up there. So I'm going to be 35, so you guys can do the math. It's been a long time.
Yeah, blessed.
And so much has happened in that time, right?
Because
I was just a baby.
Yeah.
So my whole adult life happened.
Right? Yeah. Things started showing
right.
up.
So yes, and yeah, I'm a social services supervisor at the city of West Palm Beach. So I oversee this area's homeless outreach team and our support services staff.
Yep. Total warrior, by the way. I had the honor. She allowed me to tag along one day with her, and I was just blown away driving home that day. I was like, oh my God, like that was
right.
Yeah.
And that was so cool that you came, because not a lot of people actually come with us to do outreach.
Yeah.
Especially like leaders. We've invited a lot of people over because obviously homelessness is a huge topic.
Yep.
It is growing nationally, which we can get into reasons why later. But because it's growing, it's more visible. People are more concerned about it. They think, no one's doing anything. We see all these people outside. So we always invite them, please come out with us. And we've had one or two. That's it. And Tim. So it's awesome to actually come out because you really get to go, oh, wow, you're in the hot sun in a park dealing with somebody who is or a group of people who are experiencing a variety of different mental health challenges or crises, addiction, all sorts of stuff. So it is a fun job and no 2 days are the same. So.
Yeah. What were you doing in your private life? Because you were doing some really cool stuff in your private life.
Yes. So right prior to coming to the city, I did my TV show, which was Dope Sick Nation. And that came on Viceland back in 2019, I believe.
What inspired that?
Well, so. And this is, it's all about doing and just showing up.
Oh, I love it. Right? I told you.
It really is. 80% of life is just showing up, period. And so I've always just shown up. If there's a meeting, I'll go. It doesn't mean we're going to do something, but I'm just going to show up. And so many years ago, this must have been 2016-ish, I get a call from this kid I went to high school with in West Boca High, Jamie Mannheimer. And he was like, hey, this South Florida like recovery stuff's crazy because I used to work more in traditional treatment. And so I was like, yeah, it's wild. He goes, because all the patient brokering was going on and all this stuff. And so he was like, yeah, we want to like do like maybe a documentary or like see like what's going on there. I was like, okay. He's like, do you have anyone that would want to do this with us? I said, yeah. So I gave him a bunch of names, like people I respect in the industry. Well, whatever. One kid thought he was going to get on Survivor. And this is so funny. You think like, oh, I'm going to get this bigger thing. So they turned down the small thing that ends up being a very big thing, right?
Anyway. Crushed it. Yeah, that thing crushed it.
So they ended up not really being able to find a female. I had given them Frankie, who is my co-host. And so they're like, would you be interested in doing it? I was like, sure. What does it like entail? They're like, we're just going to follow you around while you do your regular job for a couple of days. I said, all right, cool. Yeah. So no idea when. One day I'm at work and I get a call. Hey, you guys around this weekend? We're filming. They have another show called 24 to Life. It's like the last 24 hours before someone goes to prison. And so they were filming that. They said, we want to come over and film with you guys. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
They come, we film for a weekend, and I don't really hear much, and they make that into a documentary movie called American Relapse. It was on Hulu. It was in movie theaters. We won a bunch of awards for American Relapse. And it was all about basically the treatment industry, insurance industry, brokering, and just that whole seedy underbelly of what – it used to be like. It's way better now. It's nothing like that, especially in Florida. I think California has a lot of work to do, but Florida has really done a great job at cleaning up that industry, I think.
Dave was a big proponent.
People went hard, and you know, they did what they could to at least instill the rule of law. Some of the people that got in trouble, I was like, you know, there's bigger fish to fry above those individuals, but the point was that they said, hey, you're going to get in trouble if you do these things. Don't do them. And I think it really made a difference. So, so we did American Relapse, which was – I didn't see it for years until, like, way later. So I didn't even know, you know, like, what did they even use? How did they make it – they make it look so cool. But so, yeah, we did that. And then my producer was going to Vice to pitch another show. And they said to him, whatever you do, don't bring up that rehab docuseries thing, like when you get into the room. He was like, okay. So he pitches some other show, not interested. He goes, well, I have this rehab show. And that's when they gave us a pilot. We made a pilot episode. They liked it. And then they ordered 10 one-hour episodes. So our first season. And and then before we knew it, we were, I think that was like a three-year difference. And we showed up for free. You know, we did all that stuff for free for years. And it was exhausting. Like when we were making the documentary film, that's 16-hour days. Not knowing what would come out of it. And what came out of it was something really awesome.
Another example of that you're a doer.
Just do things. Just do things and things will happen.
Same thing. I invited her and she came because we've been friends for a minute. So I just gave you guys the inside scoop of – of anybody who was wondering, how did that come about? You just heard it here live for the first time.
Yeah. You just do things. You answer the phone and you show up when you say you're going to, right? Half of life is just showing up. Even if you don't look great. If even if you're a little bit late, whatever, you're there. Just do the thing.
Participating in your life.
And cool stuff will start happening. So, and then... because of the TV show, I get a call from a police officer one day. And I answer the phone. Hi, this is officer whatever. Click. Right? I hung up. Because I was like, why are the cops calling me? I don't know.
You did?
Yeah. I'm like, I don't want to deal with this. I thought it was like related to something else. And I was like, I don't want to be involved. You know. Say nothing.
That's really saying nothing. Ding. Click.
Then he like leaves a message and he was like, hi, you know, this is Chief Morris, whatever, whatever. And I was like, so I call him back and he goes, hey, I'm going to be the new deputy police chief for the city of West Palm. I was wondering, I saw you on TV. I was wondering if you could show me around. He was from Fort Lauderdale, so he wasn't as familiar with this area. And I was like, oh, yeah, of course. So I show up for that.
Awesome.
He introduces me to my now boss.
Wow.
And so that's how I actually ended up in this position that I'm in now, is all just answering the phone and
doing. Because when I first met Allie, she wasn't a supervisor.
Mm-mm.
And she got promoted because she's a doer.
Yeah. This is my third promotion, actually.
Oh, wow.
Since I've been in a little over 3 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because I went in and I said, I'm going to just work as hard as I can.
Yeah. What do you think? What's your biggest dilemma? Like, what do you find? Because you're a doer.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be the word of the day. But, you're in a spot or space that most people aren't, because you're seeing it raw and you're seeing it real, and it's live every day for you pretty much. Mm-hmm. One way or the other, phone call, one of your people that are working under you,
Sure.
What would you say the common hurdle is for you, or like roadblock, or do you ever find yourself getting frustrated with like a certain thing?
I would say I get frustrated with the system in general. But I think I've realized that it's just very broken, and the only way to fix it is to learn it as well as I can possibly learn it. Because if I, E.E. Cummings, the writer, right? He does the lowercase E.E. E.E. Cummings. It's all lowercase. Because he says you can't break the rules until you know the rules. Once you know the rules, you can break the rules. We got to learn how all of this works so then we can start to really make a change. Because I noticed people come in, they go, well, why would you do this? Or why are you doing this? This makes no sense. Well, it actually does. It's just going to take you maybe a year to figure out why we do it that way. But it actually does. And so, I think that's frustrating. It's frustrating when people who don't see what we see every day, who sit in like a nice cute office somewhere and have fancy lunches, they make these rules that don't make sense. They don't take, I call it ourselves, like, we're not first responders, but like boots on the ground, we're in the trenches. You should be asking us what we think about these things, because we're the ones that are going to have to implement it and use it. And
do you ever have those opportunities? Like, do they come to you like that?
Yeah, now I do. I mean, I meet with all the police chiefs, the county commissioners, city commissioners, mayor regularly.
Love it.
So, yeah, I'm very connected now to our local politicians.
Yeah.
I think I got nominated to be on the HHA governance board, which is all about homelessness and how the system works.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that all happened by meeting people, keeping up relationships.
Is there any one thing like you would say, like is your greatest accomplishment, since you've been in that position, whether when it was when you first started out, when you got the phone call from that police chief to now, like is there anything you can hang your hat on, or
our numbers, I would say, is one thing that I'm proud of that. Yeah. I'm proud to have a team.
Like numbers decreased,
that,
you mean?
Yes. Well, we'll know this January, but the amount of people we serve for how small our team is unbelievable. So we're very efficient. And so that's one thing I really brought there is efficiency.
Oh, I love that.
So we have the smallest outreach team. We've had two open positions all year. I'm hiring. with a really small team, there's two other outreach teams. One has 10 staff members. The other one has 7. We have 3. We did better numbers than both.
Oh, wow.
We served more people. 1 out of 3 people we served got housed. That means last year we housed or sheltered 331 people.
Wow.
That's, more than one person every working day.
Yeah.
So,
wow, that's huge.
Yeah. So we're doing a lot of stuff, but I'm mostly proud that I have a team that likes to come to work. That's what I'm proud of. I have a team that loves to come to work.
Yeah.
They love what they do.
Yeah.
They could go other places and make the same or maybe more, right?
Sometimes it's not all about that.
Right, but that's up to that leader.
100%.
To make it, so that they're being fulfilled by things other than money at work. So I would say that's one thing that I'm proud of, that I try to make it so that there's other things that are building you up besides your paycheck, which I'm not allowed to change.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but you're right. It does come from the leader, you know, and you leave, you don't lead from behind. I think you're doing exactly what you expect other people to do. If I've been up, because I just say that because I've known you for a few years now.
Yeah, people think I'm an outreach worker too. They don't know. Yeah. My staff tells them I'm the supervisor just to, I don't know, yeah. just so they bother me instead.
Yeah,
but they know I'm there. I'm there to support. What do you need to get your job done? Because I've always been taught that the person in charge, you know, the job of a leader is to give you everything you need to do your job.
Yeah.
If I'm not getting you the resources, the training, the support you need, and you're not doing a good job, well, guess whose fault it is?
Yep.
Mine.
Yep.
So.
And they're going to come to you about it.
Of course.
Right?
Someone's going to. That
well,
could be
the supervisor.
The mayor, right? The county. I mean, these people I'm in contact with weekly. So if things aren't getting done.
I'm really impressed with that because, like, it sounds to me like it's, like, pretty genuine. Like, you know, like they really want to hear from somebody like you that's actually doing something that most people don't do. And I think that's really cool. Like, that shows very good faith, effort.
Yes.
You know, like, we want to try to do something, want to make a change.
And especially the city of West Palm, they're the only city with their own homeless service team.
Wow. Out of all Palm Beach?
Out of all Palm Beach County. Like, the county has one. Palm Beach County has their own hot team. And there's a nonprofit, The Lord's Place, who does outreach.
Yep.
They're contracted through the county.
Yep.
But as far as all the cities that are Boca, Boynton, Lake Worth, you know, all the Riviera, they're the only ones that have invested in their own team. And they're very supportive of us. And so I think that that's very cool. People can say all sorts of things. You know, yes, we're the biggest city in the county, and we have every draw you could have, right? Why do the homeless come to West Palm? Because we have all the Baker Act receiving facilities, okay? we have the DMVs, the courthouses, the jails, the everything is here. So, yeah, they're all
going
to
travel.
And
you got some big charitable organizations, right? Like. Well established, like you said, the Lord's Place. They do amazing work, right?
Great work. The Lord's Place is awesome.
Where was that one place you took me into that had the showers?
St. Anne's Place does great work.
Another great place, right?
Yeah.
Now, did they have beds there too or no?
Mm-mm.
They were more of a, here's a meal, take a hot shower, here's a bar of soap, kind of like clothes.
Yeah, they do hygiene, clothing, showers, breakfast, lunch. They actually have, they do have attorneys there. So they do some case management when it comes to like disability benefits. They'll help you buy your birth certificate, an ID, and they do mail, which is very important.
Oh, wow.
Because as a person, if you're experiencing homelessness, where do you get your mail?
Yeah.
How do you get your food stamp card?
I didn't think about that. That's really.
So they get mail for hundreds of people.
I can only imagine. Gosh.
So
are you still actively involved too, like in the recovery community? Do you have any plans for another for another series? Like,
I don't know. Recovery community, not as much. I mean, a little. Like, I do the Peer Leadership Council of South Florida. So when it comes to peer stuff, I like my peers and doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I needed a break.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, from the.
It's taxing.
Yeah.
It's a very taxing field.
I needed something different.
It's a very taxing field, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I always say, you know, I hope somebody's listening to this that needed to hear. And just like the field is taxing, so are the parents, you know, what they're going through, the family homeostasis and the family, you know, units, right? It's very taxing. And
you become someone that they just want to talk. People just want to talk, which is great. But like, middle of the night, just like
want to be heard.
Being on TV, people reach out to me from across the country. Can you get me a scholarship? Now I'm a little bit more impatient about it because we'll go to the free place down the street. I'll do the research, but like you don't have a computer.
Yeah.
I just needed a minute. You know, I was just getting burnt out,
they're expecting you to like work harder than
like
them.
You're crazy. I went to the state funded DAF too. Bro, I don't feel bad for you. Go. You know, like, what do you, I don't think you know who you're talking to. Oh, you don't like the state-funded place? When? Neither did I. Like, if you really want to do it, you're going to do it. So, and my thing was, how cool to have a job where my job is to help people that have nothing. I don't have to ask, what's your insurance? What's this? It doesn't matter. I mean, I it's going to help me find a good place for you, but it's not an end-all, be-all thing for me. So, oh, you literally live outside with not an ID or a penny to your name?
Yeah.
Let me sign you up.
I got you. I got you.
You know, it feels good just to be able to do that for my community.
I'm thinking, you know, just right here now going live, like I'm just thinking it feels good because you're being very authentic to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these people, no disrespect, they have nothing to offer you and that, you know, that you want something back. You just, God, I really want to say a word I shouldn't say, so I'm not going to say it, but you're just like, I say real, hashtag real something. It stinks. Hashtag real and it stinks.
Okay.
You get the next word, right? That's what I'm getting at. Like, I just, you know, like I'm going back to what I keep going back to. I just want to keep showing up and I want to hang out with people that keep showing up because I get inspired too. And hopefully you're getting inspired from people who keep showing up because they really don't have anything to offer her. But in her commitment to others and to not only to herself, but to others, but you have to have it for yourself first, before you can commit, I think, to anything else.
Sure.
She's able to grow. She's able to feel good at the end of the day. She comes home, you know, and you know, is able to sleep okay for the most part. You know, knowing she did a good deed for somebody who's, you know, in need, mentally incapable, struggling mentally, trauma abuse, rape, drugs, homelessness, there's so many components, right?
Yes.
But the thing is, because she's serving, doing, she gets to grow too. So, like, you're kind of like, I mean, technically, really, you're like the go-to person if you need help.
Yes.
Right? Like, if you don't have anything, call Allie. She's got, she can get.
Especially if you live in Palm Beach County. Anywhere else?
Can you get anybody clothes? Like, can you get meals? Housing?
Ugh. Housing's rough. Housing takes time.
Medical? Treatment of some sort?
Some kind of treatment,
Some kind of treatment. That's what I'm getting at. And
everybody's different, you know, but we take the time to ask questions and to figure out, okay, what is your exact situation? What resources do we have, if any?
A lot of, like, assessments, right? Like,
And it's more conversation, you know, but we're just trying to pull things from that conversation. Like, okay. All right. Oh, they said they had a friend in Michigan. Have we looked into that? Or they said they used to get a check, but they don't anymore. So maybe they had disability, were incarcerated because of that. A check was turned off. Can we get that back?
You know. I can see how that can be satisfying, right?
Yeah, like, it's a lot of critical thinking. Yeah. That's the cool part of the job.
Like that
it's
detective comes out and you're kind of like.
Well, the old, like, your old school ways come back. You're like, by any means necessary, right? Like, how do we get it done? What is the way to figure this out?
That's a great
point. There's a will, there's a way.
That's a great
kind of thing. So it allows you to use that brain, that addict brain that goes, all right. Let's figure this out. Yeah. So if I call them, they can give me $200. Yeah. And then if we can go over here, and then they would qualify for this weird little grant over here, we can use that for the transportation. And you kind of just try to make something that can work for the person.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So that's what I like about it. That's the fun part.
Yeah, and that's what I love about, like, you know, addicts, alcoholics, very resourceful, very, like, determine, like, once they fixate on something or get fixed on something, they can use it in a healthy way. Like, I know, like, a lot of the, and no disrespect, but like a lot of OCD people, like, when they've learned how to manage it, because it can be a crippling situation for somebody, very crippling. But, you know, we do get better. We can recover. And it's such a goof, man, because some of the, like, the OCD people, because I've been in the field 18 years. And if you ever want anything done and you have an OCD person that knows how to manage it kind of like on your team, you always go to them like, hey, could you and you're expecting it like to take all day. They come back with that little smile like a little kid, like you just caught their hand in a cookie jar. They're like,
I'm on top of it?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. If you're OCD, apply.
I'm finished. You are? Yeah, no problem. And it's like. Wow, you know what I mean?
On top of it.
Oh, phenomenal.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, doers. And that's why we mainly try to hire peers. It's because, A, they have that lived experience, which gives you the empathy and understanding that you need to really do the job well.
Yeah.
And they're able to meet the client where they're at.
Yeah.
But it's like, why would you – I don't want someone with a master's degree doing outreach.
Because
you know what they try to do? Oh, you're struggling? Have you tried sobriety? No, we're not getting them sober right now. That's not our job.
Yeah.
I don't care. Smoke crack all day. Be honest to me about it. Tell me what's going on.
Yeah.
But we're not doing that. We're trying to get you inside first.
Yeah.
You know, let's surround you with the care that you need to be okay right now. Like, how are you going to get sober living outside?
Love that.
It's not that easy, right? Yeah. So it's like all about what does that person want to do?
Yeah.
Not what I want to do for them.
How can I stabilize this person?
Right, in a way that is true to what they want.
Yeah.
Some people don't want to live inside.
Yeah.
They just don't want to be inside.
Do you think a lot of that is because they're more comfortable being outside?
Maybe they like the freedom associated with it. Some of them feel like we're the crazy ones because we're in the rat race of get the check, pay the bills, get the check, pay the bills, get the check, pay the bills, right?
Yeah.
So they kind of look at us like, you know, that.
Yeah.
And for some, it is weird. Like, we just moved 40 individuals that were chronically homeless, meaning they've been living outside at least 1 year or longer, plus medically or fragile.
Yeah.
So some of them weren't sleeping in their beds for a long time.
Yeah.
They're not used to it. Some don't go home at night. It's awkward for them to be, like, crammed inside this little space.
Mm.
So, but, like, the point is, it's like, okay, what do you want to do? Some of them want to get a van. You know, like, how can we work towards that?
Down by the river?
Sure, anywhere they're legally allowed to park it, right? But, like, how do we make that a thing for you? If that's what you want to do, sure. I don't care. Like, how do we get there? So that's kind of what I like about this kind of work, and as opposed to recovery work.
So it's kind of like, all right, so like recovery work, you can get somebody who's broken at their worst point in their life and get them well. What is the path like? What's it do for you when you work somebody, you got them off the streets, and a couple of years later, like, they're still in touch with you, they're working, they got their own apartment. That must be like phenomenal too, no?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, that's phenomenal. We have some high-functioning people who will go off to be great, have good jobs, and pay their way. But it really feels good when you help somebody who will never be okay on their own, by themselves. They need a lot of support for the rest of their lives. And that's why they're outside. Because they don't have the support. They don't have the family. They don't have the money. And so they're forgotten and ignored.
Wow, that's really deep that you brought that up, because that day we were out. And this is what I'm getting at, my friends. This is why this is great. I love doing this, and I love the people that so far have said yes. Because that day, it was another thing I was like, wow. Everywhere we went, everybody would be like, Allie. And they weren't really doing well. I mean, I'll just give you a scenario so you can – because I use imagery a lot. There was a whole bunch of guys underneath the bridge on a street really not that far from down West Palm, where we're at, just gathering, sitting around. But when Allie showed up, it was like I guess somebody just really cared that was in their life. And I remember a woman around by a school back here. I'm getting a little personal now, but there's a trestle not far from here, and it's by a school. And she was, and when we seen Allie coming, it was like she almost ran to the car. You know, it was like, and then Allie's like, like just. Just like that mom.
Yeah.
You're you're like the mom of the streets.
Right.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you were tough as heck, because I remember we eventually worked our way down to the inlet, and I asked you, I was like, man, does it ever get to you at all? And you're like, are you kidding me? All the years I've done, something like that. All the hard work I put in, I can get them clothing. That's why I can get them food. Like, no.
Right.
And I was like, man.
And it's like, how I can't take on that responsibility of your choices. Like,
oh, I love it.
You've
made
these choices for 20 years. Granted, whatever is going on, but it's not me. Or my fault,
but
you know?
You're a true doer, that you're able to separate. You know, to keep it really simple, right? As a counselor, I've got boundaries.
Right.
You know, I was just really – that whole day just blew me away. I was really impressed.
That's awesome. Thank
you. Yeah, it was
you.
A wonderful experience. Like, it's really like that's what it's all about. Like, it's just, it was really powerful. I want to ask you too, what was your final point? Like, what was your breaking point when you were so young to be 18? Because I'm still active counseling, mm-hmm. facilitating groups, you know, with people in their 60s still just showing up for detox for the umpteenth time. 18 years old, man. Mm-hmm. Like, do you recall what your final blow was? Are you okay sharing?
Like, sure. Well, the main thing was when I was 17, I was arrested for drug trafficking. So I was facing 120 years in prison, which was a huge deal. And it was even made worse by being in the paper so many times on the news and all these things that, you know, they kind of want to make an example. Because back then was the pill mill era. Everyone I went to school with was on Roxy's or oxycodone. And so we were, you know, doing the whole doctor shopping thing. But really, as a kid, I don't know, but I'm caught up in a huge addiction. In a community that is everyone was on pills. Like, it was crazy. And so when I got arrested and then had all that publicity on it, I was out on house arrest, and I remember thinking, okay, I'm here because of drugs. When I get home, I cannot do drugs. My first day home, I do drugs. Not real. I mean, I smoked weed. Which is crazy because I'm on house arrest, going to get drug tested. Why would I smoke weed out of everything? Like,
stays in for such a long.
My friends were like, we're smoking an ounce blunt. That's huge. I said, save me the roach. What does that even matter at that point? You know, it's just, but it's the tricks we try to do with our, it's the tricky thinking thing. So, and then things continued to get worse when I was on house arrest. I was finally sentenced, and they tried to give me 3 years. The judge refused it. Judge George LaBarga, he's now a Florida Justice of the Supreme Court. He's a good man. And, you know, he, like, took serious pity on me. And he said, listen, you were a juvenile. I was charged as an adult, but we're going to give you 6 years of probation, drug test every other week. You have to go to rehab. You got to do all, you know, a list of shit for 6 years. And you're not getting off early. Like, you know, this is it. And if you mess up, you're going to prison. And so still I was using. So I needed really God. My God held me until I got into the Drug Abuse Foundation. A lot had happened while waiting that could have sent me away for a long time. And so when I finally got to treatment, I was like, wow, I made it here. I should not have many. And it was just like really a few months of living outside, doing, you know, hard drugs, getting it. I was like, really, I had gotten pulled over multiple times by the police with lots of things on me. And I kept getting lucky or whatever you want to call it, whatever. And I said, okay, well, we got to figure this out. And at first I was like, all right, well, I'll stay here for 30 days. And then they're like, no, you're here for 6 months. I said, oh, I'm not staying for 6 months. I'm going to leave when my 30 days comes, I'm going to leave. 30 days comes, I go, wow, I still want to do drugs. That's so crazy. And I remember thinking at 90 days, I can't believe I still want to use. Like, I was still having thoughts of using even at 90 days clean. And that's when I realized, okay, this is like a brain thing. And I remember we would have the H&I meetings come in, and they would talk to us about the allergy. And I would ask her all the time, can you explain the allergy one more time? Like, how does it work again? Because I was very interested in learning what was going on with me, that once I started, I couldn't stop and all these things. And yeah. And then I, like I said, I had to stay there for 6 months, then outpatient for another 3 months. So I think that just gave me the time I needed to do something different. And I remember one day I thought, okay, I got to get a sponsor or not, right? Like, we're going to go one of two ways. We're either going to go this way or we're going to go this way. And I said, I just saw Lisa. Will you be my sponsor? I didn't even know, you know, I didn't even care. Just wanted to do it, say it, get the word out, and get going on the work. And
amazing.
And yeah. And then I just kept showing up. I probably went to a meeting every day for 4 years, 3 or 4 years, a long time.
Love it.
Did all, you know, was GSR, secretary.
There's that doer.
Had my AA home group, an NA home group.
You hear that doer in her again?
I was going too hard, maybe even, but, you know, I was super in it for just a very, very long time.
Love it.
And it gave me all of the tools that I use today to make decisions, to try to I quit vaping 3 days ago.
Did you really? Congrats. Yeah, oh, my God. Nicotine was such a nemesis for me. I smoked my whole life.
I can't believe I did it.
Oh, man, that's incredible. Are you jonesing at all?
A little, sometimes. Yeah, right now, no. But when I'm, like, in my car, like, driving home, or when someone, like, gives me, like, which stresses me out, like, I'll get, like, a cortisol spike or something. I go, where's my vape? Like, it's just like a... And the vape's the worst because you have it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I find myself walking around looking for something.
Yeah.
I'm like, what am I looking for? I'm looking for my vape. I'm not vaping. Yeah. I'm still looking for it. Yeah. Like, wow. Like, okay. Yeah.
And you can do it like anywhere.
Right. That's why it's sleeping. I sleep with it, you know? Like, it's just, and I've been vaping for 15 years before it was even cool, before they even had vape stores.
I didn't even know they were around that long.
Yeah, because I quit smoking cigarettes for a year. And then I saw these vapes in the gas station, these like throwaways. And I was like, well, just a vape, you know, like it's not cigarettes. And
they made them really seductive too, like the packaging.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it seems so sophisticated.
And so it's been a long time.
Were you having any consequences? Is that what made you like, or you just had enough of being like,
I didn't like really have enough. I love my vape. I hate to be that person.
What made that decision then? Like, what happened?
Well, so my dad quit smoking regular cigarettes like a year ago.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And like, if he can do it, anyone can do it, right? And so I was like, how did you do it? He used these like, you know, pills to help you stop smoking that are from Poland. So I was like, all right. So I had purchased them just to like have them. I figured I'd try them, but I don't like trying like weird stuff from Poland. So I was like,
Wasn't expecting
so I gave it to a couple people as my guinea pigs. Like, yeah, here, try this. Let me know how it works. Right. Like, let them die first. I know. And so they would be like, dude, I didn't think about smoking, like doing a cigarette or smoking for hours and all this stuff. This one kid I go to school with, he's a young kid. You know, I'm like the oldest person in all my classes, but he's so funny. I gave him one. He goes, okay, we're going to take it tomorrow. I said, we're going to take it tomorrow. He texts me. He goes, okay, I took it. I said, okay. Later he goes, how are you feeling? I go, I didn't take it. How do you feel? He's like, why would you do that? I was like, I'm sorry. I'm scared.
Oh, man.
But he was fine. So I took it the next day. And I was like, oh, wow. I haven't thought about hitting my vape for like hours.
Yeah.
And how the medicine works is like on the fifth day, you're allowed to smoke or whatever in the beginning. Yeah. And then you're supposed to kind of just not want to anymore. And the fifth day, you're supposed to give it up.
Yeah.
So
it was like the Shantex I did.
Yeah. I like accidentally quit.
Wow.
And like, because I knew I was like, okay, I'm able to get over these humps, right? Yeah. Like I'm going to, I want it. I'm thinking it. I'm obsessing about it a little bit. Drink water or do something. Ride the wave. Wait till it's over. My dad gave me that. He goes, Allie, whenever you want to hit your vape, just say, I don't want that. Dad, I don't want that. And take a deep breath. So
that's
anyway,
awesome.
I was like, fuck it. Let's just see.
Yeah,
you know, and it's just for today.
Yeah.
I might vape tomorrow. Hopefully not. Yeah. But, you know, really, that's how I'm just doing it.
How much money have you saved in the last 3 days?
I don't know. Because, you know what? Like I use like an old school vape. I don't buy the ones at the gas station with like, you know, they freak me out. But I'm sure I'll save a decent amount of money. I'm sure I'll
save. Do you know what you were spending like on in a week? Can you
not
like,
a lot, like $15, maybe 20 tops.
So when you say an old school vape, is that like the stuff with the drip?
Yeah, you like put your juice in. So you got to buy the juice and the coils, but they're relatively cheap, you know? So it definitely wasn't that, but I can tell like I could breathe better if I'm not vaping.
Already?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Nice.
And like.
That's quick. Only 3 days. Gosh, great.
And I just think like, am I going to do this forever? Yeah. What is the vape doing to you?
Yeah.
Like, we don't know. We don't really know.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Incredible.
I know. I was like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was
I can't believe it.
It was one of the hardest things I ever did in my life.
And because, again, I love my vape. I'm going to say it now. Like, it's not like I've, like, disgusted by it or hated it or, like, you know.
It was always there for you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. So now the next part of this is I have to try to put a good thing in for that bad thing.
Yeah.
So I need, like, this is a perfect time for me to, like, do a good routine. Like every time I want to smoke, like do something positive instead.
Do you have anything in place? Like if say it hit you right now when you left here because you're talking about the vape. Yeah. Do you have anything in place? Like
I just do the I don't want that. And I take a deep breath, seriously. And I have like a bunch of lollipops and stuff that I've been using because really it's just having something in my hand.
I use Shantex for about a week, same as you. And then I just said, this is ridiculous. And when I quit, you know, then I just stopped and my chest felt like there was a truck on it for days. Because, you know, I got sober at 44, 3 years later. I say I'm out with my friends, spots, whatever. You know, you guys are all done with dinner and you're waiting for your dessert and your cups of coffee. Right. And Tim's like, I'll be right back. You know, it could be, we're South Florida. It could be like a hurricane out there, like a bad storm. I'm looking for like a little place to smoke my cigarette because I needed my cigarette. And after 3 years of sobriety, I was like, this is crazy. Right. What am I doing? I'm like still controlled.
Totally. Yes.
And it was so hard because not only is it readily available, like I tried so many times in the past, stomach get tight, I get diarrhea, I have massive headaches. I had really bad withdrawals from nicotine. And all I had to do, all I knew, it's just like a junkie or an out. Just go to CVS, get a get a pack of smokes.
Right.
But man, it's been 15 years for me. It was
a great. How long did you go till you didn't really think about it anymore? Or
God, so long ago now. You know, like I don't know, but I had this app. I wish I could remember the name. It was great because like it told you the first 24 hours, like internally, like physically.
Yeah, like what's going
on?
That's
already.
Cool.
In 48 hours, it said I reduced my chance of a heart attack by like whatever percent. I was like, man, well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then it gave me a quick zap, like, I don't know, 3-4 days later, how much money I already saved. Because if you guys smoke, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You go get a pack, but by the time you walk out, you have another lighter, you got a pack of gum, you got whatever. And that was another thing after a while. I was like, I go in here, I'm spending like $20. I went in almost every day.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to buy a carton.
Right, God forbid.
Oh, it's too much. It's $60 in one shot. But by the end of the week, I was already way past $60. I was just hooked, man. I was hooked. So it was one of the greatest things I ever did.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Any
plans? Any...
Any
future plans? You're going to be getting your degree, right?
Yeah, so I was thinking like 2024 was such a year of, you know, I feel like for me, I always want to be doing accomplishing things. And be like, I did these things. Or I was at this, spoke at this big event. And just I want to accomplish things. And 2024 was very quiet accomplishments, you know, learning. Is a lot of learning too, like the getting the supervisor position because I had my podcast like all last year when I was a coordinator, and I could kind of like leave for like a little bit of a longer lunch and you know just like be like a regular employee, and now I'm like in charge and I'm like you know I need to lead by example. I want to be here early and late when my staff's there. I don't want to leave them by themselves. You know, I just want to be that person. So, and becoming, I could have never imagined all the work a supervisor does. Like, wow, I didn't know it was going to be so much extra work and like things to learn and policies and process, especially working for the government. Like, it was a lot. So, it was a year of really, you know, digging down and refining a lot of things about myself. So 2025, yes, I should be graduating by the end of next year.
Awesome.
It's been like 10 years. So very excited for that.
Nice work.
I think I'm going to work on the nonprofit.
Ooh, I love that.
So I'm going to – I got some names, you know, written down, but kind of something that like a bridging the gap type of vibe, especially for like the work that we do. It's always like, oh, my God, if I had – $40, we could fix this thing. Like, we need like the Minutemen agency. Like, okay, you need $40 here. Or like, oh, you needed a wheelchair or you guys need like fixing, you know, we don't fix people's cars. You know, there's little things that you can do to either prevent homelessness or solve it that you can't do through government and free money.
You have such a strong voice too, though. I mean, if you had a 501c, I know you'd be great as far as you know, believing in what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And of course, they need money, and I think you'd be great at that too.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think you'd be really successful at that.
Doing housing, you know, for the homeless particularly. I'd love to do like a program.
But it's like become part of you. It's like who you are. Like,
yeah.
I want to help that dude.
Right.
Like, and I can.
Yeah, and they need the support. It's so funny because they shut down all the sober livings, which I understand why.
Yeah.
But they need that, but not for recovery, just for people.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know? Just for people.
Yeah.
Make your bed, dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Put your stuff. Oh, is this old in the refrigerator? Like, throw it away.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We don't leave trash on the floor.
Like life skills.
Yeah. Okay. Let's teach you how to use a computer.
You could be like
the big
sister.
Let's build a resume. Yeah. Something like that.
Like something like that.
Yeah.
Like
within
reason,
something.
You know.
Yeah. That it's like, we're here for you to guide you.
Yeah.
On your new life.
How rewarding.
I think it would be so cool. It's very needed.
Yeah.
We don't really have anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, taking people that want to do the stuff.
Maybe you could collaborate with other 501s.
For sure.
I know a couple of good ones.
There's so many people doing cool stuff out there. You're doing cool stuff out there.
I am.
Yeah.
And I feel very fortunate that I've actually been given the opportunity to do something like that. You know, like I feel it's, like you mentioned God, and for me it's God, and I believe it's like a sacred act almost, you know, like we're entrusted to help people who have lost, if not all hope, mostly, you know, have no hope, you know, and to be entrusted with something like that, I think is really special because game recognizes game, and real recognizes real, and if these people are going to recognize, they're going to recognize it. So to be able to, you know, like you were doing, you know, like no attachments, just like what we do here. I'm not responsible for I'm not in the business of outcomes.
Right.
I don't have it like that. You know, it's just not my jam. My thing's the message. And I feel that's a very sacred opportunity. I feel it's grace.
Yes.
You know, you're 18. And for somebody's life to turn around at 18, like, just think about that. I mean, it's gotta be really heavy, like to just whoosh, and then do a complete turnaround and like have this
more friends, those high school people, you're not talking to them no more.
Yeah, just it's like a
you gotta make that choice.
But it's a conversion
that
eludes most people.
Yeah.
And I think to have people like that in your life or to, you know, gather that ability. It's like you gather this ability over time. Right?
Oh, totally.
Yeah. And like the more you gather, the better you become, the more it supplies you, like the more it get right. It's like it's just energy,
right?
It's really cool.
Yes.
So if people wanted to get in touch with you, how could they do that? You know, like, are you okay giving an email out? Or
I can give you guys my email.
I mean, I don't know,
my Instagram handle.
There you go.
Cool.
Yeah,
Insta.
Yeah.
Can hit me up on Instagram. It's at Ali Severino. I think there's an underscore. ALLIESEVERINO_ But yeah. Instagram, my email is ali.severino@gmail.com. So I don't care. You can email me too.
Okay.
And yeah, if I can be of any assistance, I'm happy to do so. Yeah. And if I can't help, I'll let you know that too.
Yes, you will.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you that.
I'm very upfront. I try to be, especially
well,
even with the clients. But I always tell people, they rather you tell them what's up than pretend like you're going to be able to do something you can't do.
Go on this whole monologue of nonsense.
Let's get to the chase.
I hope we brought something to you today. That's always the goal here at the podcast. Just have an old school, old fashioned, whatever word works for you, conversation, because it's such a dying thing these days, and nobody has conversation anymore. Just an authentic chat, and I'm really honored that Beachway backs me in this endeavor. I love what I do. I've been given a tremendous gift too. Be celebrating 18 years in April.
Wow.
April coming up. My goal, you know, I just want to be sober longer than I used. And by 11 years old, I didn't like how I felt. And I got so clean and sober this last time at 44. I just turned 62.
Wow.
And so I have to get to 77 to live longer.
That's like a lucky number, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just have to get to 77. to live longer.
There you go.
So
just
I know that's a privilege denied many, 100%. But I'm gonna take the high road. 62 yeah. is a privilege.
Well, listen, if you can walk 75 miles, woo! You know, I think you might just hit that milestone.
Working on again yeah. in January.
No smoking.
Quit smoking. 15 years. Yeah, I know, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually showing up for my life. So, yeah, thank you for giving your Instagram. Thank you for being a guest here. I really admire. I feel very honored. I mentioned the guests that were here before, and to have Allie, she's, it's just an amazing opportunity. And I hope we brought you something. If you're struggling, reach out to somebody. You got Allie's Instagram. I'm tim.r@beachway.com. You can find me, Facebook, Instagram. I'm all over. Just put my name in. It will come up. And if I can't help you, I know she will. And if we can't together, we know tons of people that will.
Find you a resource. And if you quit smoking, comment below how long it took you to like not think about it anymore. I'm just wondering.
Ooh,
so you got to let us know.
I love
in the
that.
Comments. Yes.
Hey, until next time, be good to yourself. And we wish you all the best. Peace and love.
Bye.
Bye.